Welcome to Moms in the Wild with Kate
and Kara,
where we laugh at our wild moments to make you feel better about yours. Welcome back to Moms in the Wild.
What is your wild mom moment of the week?
I have a gruesome wild mom moment for you.
Violent. We need a violent wild mom moment.
Spoiler alert, you have already heard a little bit about this.
I'm excited.
Not in detail, but I did send you a picture.
Yeah, so I know it's violent.
So this is like, it just speaks to the unpredictability of toddlers.
Yeah.
I was playing with Bubba. He likes to play rough. He has always been like that. He likes to like rough around and wrestle and roughhouse. And so we were doing kind of that. And was that like we were like winding down the playtime. It was just me and him. Before I get into that, before I was pregnant, I have a large chest. Thank you, birth control. And before I was pregnant, I always wore a bra. I wore a bra even to sleep. Okay. So after, for some reason, like after I had him, I don't know if it's because I was like used to like, if I would breastfeed, I'd just fall asleep and like my boobs would be out or whatever. But then I just stopped wearing bras to sleep. But in the day when we're just lounging, I wear like bras in quotations. They're like a thin piece of fabric that like just keeps them from like touching my belly button.
You're just wearing a thin cloth that just holds them kind of and
yeah.
Kind of in place is definitely, yeah.
So I had that bra on and I had like a shirt on and we're playing and it was so fun. He was laughing. He was giggling. At this point, like we're not even like roughhousing anymore. I was like, okay, like let's wind down. That was great. Like, let's talk about what you're going to have for dinner. And he launches from the couch. I was standing in front of him. He was on the couch. He launches from the couch, mouth agape, just grabs my boob by the teeth. Okay. I shriek in pain to the point where David is in the kitchen. He's like, what's wrong?
Did Bubba think it was funny?
Oh my God. He thought it was hilarious because I was like, like it was one of those pains that you feel in like your belly button, you know, like it was just like, it hurt so bad. I thought he was like tore my nipple off. He made contact. And not only did he like, the problem is like post-pregnancy, post-breastfeeding boobs, my breasts are the texture and stretchiness of like mozzarella string cheese.
Yes. 100% like, accurate for all boobs after birth.
And grabbed it and it just went with him. Like he didn't like stop. It was like, yes, let's go. Let's see how far we can stretch this thing.
Let's leave the room with mom's titty in our mouth.
I had two puncture wounds and then scrape wounds and then two more punctures from where he like got a one less bite in before he like let go.
Oh my gosh.
When I tell you, I looked like I had been stabbed in the tit. It was horrible.
Okay, it's honestly, as someone who saw it, it was an actual human bite mark. You know when you're watching a horror film and someone has like a ghoul that's haunting them and the sign of the ghoul is like, I have a random bite. That's what it looks like when you're like, oh, that's a definite sign of a haunt. A deep, deep bite.
It was certain part of your body. It's still bad. It's been like a week and it's my boob is like yellowy bruised and it's just, I still have the marks. Yeah, my kid just straight up jawsed me, like out of nowhere. He's like, having like a great playing moment.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, it'd be great. Let me just bite the shit out of her.
He's like, you know what? This is acceptable. This is an acceptable thing to do as we're winding down. I feel like this will be a good way to do that.
Toddlers.
Ah, they're wild.
You can't trust them.
You can't at any point in time at all.
No. It's like living with just someone who's like has a hairline trigger, you know?
Yeah.
Like you never know what's going to set it off. You'll never know.
And it could be zero things. It was just like, I just wanted to experiment and see what happened if I did this.
Yeah. It was shocking because I had to start breastfeeding him when he was 3 months old. So like he has not touched my boobs in a very long time with his mouth.
Yeah. He was like, I want to see what this is all about.
Yeah, it wasn't even like he like breastfed till a year and he was like, oh, doing this. No, he has no memory of breastfeeding. Like he never once bit me when I breastfed. Now, of course, he's 2 and a half and he just bit the shit out of my boob.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. With like a full mouth of teeth.
Yeah.
He was like, don't care.
Look, when he goes all in. I'll say that about that kid.
He does. He was like, I'm really going to nail it this time. I know it. Let's see how funny. Let's see how funny this is.
Yes.
Good job.
What was your wild mom moment of the week?
So I thought we would take a much needed break from me speaking about my boobs. Happy you brought yours up. You have to bring some variety to the show. And instead, I'm going to speak about Chris's nipples. My
love it.
So let's see where this story takes us. So we were sitting on the couch with our lovely little baby, who was also roughhousing. She just loves the little, what we call rumpus time before she goes down to go to sleep, gets all of her energy out. I think she may have been going down for a nap. So she was just being crazy, like running back and forth, crawling back and forth to both sides of the couch, running in between us, just being a real nut. And he and I were also just having a conversation while all this was happening. And suddenly she was near his side of the couch, and suddenly he arched his back and gritted his teeth as if he had been shot. Like, he just looked like he was being electrocuted. And I was like, oh, what is happening? What was happening is she was trying to pull herself up so she could be eye to eye with him, and used just his nipple, basically grabbed and with all of her body weight pulled, like she was gonna pull herself up. And he didn't want to scare her and scream in her face. So his reaction was to just look like he was having a seizure. Totally look like he was having a seizure. And it was incredible and amazing. And he got to experience, you know, what it's like to have your nipple basically ripped off by a kid.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long time coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we always say his useless nipples joke in the house because, you know, I am still breastfeeding and I provide life-sustaining milk to our child. And so now the joke is that his nipples do have use. They're to leverage our child when she needs to stand. And you know what? She did. Stand, she did. So
she did.
She found the purpose.
She found a way.
She always finds a way.
That's going to serve her so well in this life.
And then she was so confused because we were dying laughing. Well, I was dying laughing. He was just dying of pain. And then she also, she was just very confused, like, what did I do? But it was the best thing to witness. So sorry, Chris, but thank you for, you know, that content. A big boob week overall.
What a week, right? For nipples. I was just going to say.
Nipple week in this.
That weren't yours.
That weren't mine. Ironic. Which is shocking. How did we have two boob/nipple stories and mine didn't get involved at all?
I don't know. Yours are like, you know what? I've taken too much of the spotlight.
We need a break. You know what? We need a break. We're going to be shy and modest.
Look, I don't ever want mine to have a spotlight again.
As you were talking about always having to wear a bra, I was honestly in my head like, ugh, I would never. I honestly only wear a bra now because there is that discomfort of under boob sweat. Oh, and a bra does help either absorb it or stop it. I don't know which one, and I don't investigate. But I do know when I don't wear a bra, I'm like, these guys are just swampy. And it's very uncomfortable. Do you ever do the shirt tuck? Do you ever not wear a bra and you just tuck your shirt on your boobs because you don't want to feel that sweaty feeling?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, which is not something I was ever able to do before. And also, I know you've seen this. I don't know why I'm saying this, like you're extremely familiar with my breasts, but...
Well, you are. I mean,
yeah. My left side or right side so underproduces that my boobs are already like not. I don't know. Does anyone have the same size boobs?
I don't think
both
so.
Are exactly the same size. I don't think so.
People who have had breast augmentations
probably do.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, right? My boobs have not been are not the same size.
No shade either. Like as soon as I'm done having kids, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
We are pulling these suckers back and we're taking a lot of it out.
Yeah.
Like, pull them back up to where they belong.
I would have them pulled back up. Yeah. And maybe evened out. If I didn't, I have heard that if you get implants, you do have to replace them like after a certain amount of time. That's the only thing that I'd be leery of.
Yeah. I don't want implants, but I do if it's an option to like make them smaller and lift get them that. Up.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I would like an up. I would definitely go for the up. But they're two completely different sizes now because my right one like super underproduces. So they're not even close. Maybe I would just get some of my left removed. Okay, we should do this.
There is a movie where that happened. Someone like slammed their boob in a car door and they had to make like it had an implant. What is that movie?
I do not
It's
know.
with Adam Sandler, who
Oh my
Jennifer
gosh.
Aniston pretends to be his girlfriend or wife.
Oh,
He's
is
like a
she?
plastic surgeon.
Oh, he's a plastic surgeon. I thought she was a plastic surgeon.
No,
Maybe
she's
not.
like the assistant.
Of
But that's
course.
one of the patients comes in and she had implants and she had slammed one of them in the car door and it had popped. So then
Gosh.
they hold up her bra and she had like sewn like an A cup to like a triple D. It was just like.
Use them right. That's kind of what I feel like I need to do. I get like there's so much space when I wear a bra that would normally fit. Also, is if there's not trademark, we're gonna do this. But copyright. There should be a whole line of bras specifically for women that have been pregnant or breastfed because your needs are different. Like my boobie needs are so different than when I look at my old bras, which I do still have, mostly as a like, I don't know, way to laugh at myself. I just giggle at them. Where I'm like, oh, what those young boobies, they're never going back.
Okay, the movie's called Just Go With It. I just
Oh,
remembered.
good, good, good.
And because someone is listening to this, like screaming that out right
I know. They're like, someone, please listen to me. Why did you tell? Because now this would have been the email that we could have got to open up that line of communication to our fans. Never mind, disregard. That's not the right movie.
On that note, email us at connect@momsinthewild.com.
If you're screaming at your radio right now, radio? Not on the radio. Your streaming devices.
I need like the volume of my boobs mm-hmm. is misplaced. Like it's all at the bottom now. I need more volume back at the top. So like you know how like padded bras normally have volume at the bottom?
Yeah.
I need it upside down. Like I need more at the top now.
Top volume.
You're right though. There should be a like if you've had babies and breast if not even breastfed because I didn't really
no,
breastfeed
it's just
that
being
long.
Pregnant too. But, yeah.
Like, I have different needs.
Yeah, same. I want one where there is one that's like a D cup and one that's maybe a A cup because that is my situation. Or one where, you know, the padding is on my right side, but no padding on my left side because I don't want to further push up my already huge boob to further show that my other one is tiny and doesn't fit in anything.
This is so customizable though that like you're looking at like a $500 bra by the time you're done with designing yours.
You know what? If that's what the boobies need, that's what the boobies need.
With that, let's talk about our guest. We have another very exciting episode today with a very exciting guest.
We're so excited. We love a guest episode. We love this guest. So Shay is a birth worker, trained doula, and certified lactation counselor. Checking all the boxes. She's passionate about childbirth education. She's worked in early childhood development most of her life. And other interests include yoga and astrology, which she just told us all about because we asked her. It was really great. And she's a mother to a very energetic, adorable, sweet, kind-hearted. These are all things that I'm piling on. Just beautiful, lovely, and loving 17-month-old boy who we love so much. Welcome, Shay.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you for all the added words about my little
son. Oh my gosh. Love him.
Yes.
We do want to talk today about early childhood reality versus expectation, which we've been doing a lot of reality versus expectation recently, Kate. I like it.
Well, you know, we need to tell people what's up.
Yeah, we need the peoples to know if you don't know already.
They know. They're like, we get it.
They're like, we get it. Shut up. So early childhood for this episode is going to be newborn stage all the way through about 2.5, because that kind of is just the age range of our children.
Yes.
So I'm interested, Shay, if you don't mind us putting you on the spot and starting with you.
Yes.
What was your expectation of early childhood versus reality?
My expectations I formed from just my limited amount of time that I had been with the specific age group of newborn. That's the one that I honestly thought I've got this. I thought this
is the same sleepy, system.
Sleepy little creature that I will cuddle and put down when I need to and live my best life. And that's honestly what I thought. And I had had a lot of experience with kids, even, you know, not my own, which makes a world of difference, but kids really like 3 months to seven, I had really spent a lot of my life. So I think I felt overly confident going into even just motherhood in general, thinking I knew how to change a diaper. I knew how to burp. I knew how to swaddle. I knew how to, you know, do all these things. And I think what I didn't realize at all, honestly, even through my work as a lactation counselor and doula and was when it's happening to you and you're not just dealing with a newborn who has all kinds of needs, which we can get into, but you are sleep deprived, you are postpartum, your body is healing, you're physically learning how to feed this human being and keep them alive. And it's just so much mentally, emotionally, physically, that words really don't do justice to just how difficult, especially I think those first 3 months are. And when it's not your baby and you're not a new parent and you just get to hold this cute little cuddly thing, it really makes you excited for that time. And when you're living it, you just feel very unprepared for what that is.
Yeah. Something you said before we started, like right before we started recording, that I really liked was you don't really have access to a lot of fresh new babies, unless you do have a family system where there's some people are popping babies out left and right, or you work in a medical setting. But then to your point, it is very different. You know, you get to, when that baby starts to act a fool, you get to be like, oh, where are your parents? Because I'm going to go take a nap. I'm going to go take a lie down and feed myself and go to the bathroom without anybody else there.
Haven't done that in a while now.
Same. I never realized how often someone would have to watch me void. There'd just be eyes looking at me while I did those things.
Oh, it's wild. And it's the things you take for granted prior to becoming a parent that I thought people were exaggerating, if I'm going to be totally honest. Like when I heard the, like, you won't brush your hair for 2 weeks, I was like, it's brushing your hair. Like, what are you talking about? Like, yes, you will. And then I had a conversation with my sister who had twins 2 weeks after me. And I was like, there's going to come a day where you do not brush your hair. You don't even brush your teeth, I don't think. And she texted me a few weeks after that and was like, the day has come.
The day of reckoning is upon us. Yeah.
And it's really hard. It's really hard to explain it to someone who's not in it and to feel like you're like articulating it, or you're like doing justice to what it truly is for those early childhood, especially newborn times.
Yeah. I know for myself, because I also did different from you. I really hadn't worked with any children or had any exposure to kids. So going in, I wasn't like, I'm going to rock this, but I did. I also thought, based on just, I guess, social media, or when I went to visit other people and their babies, which is for such a short period and window of time of that person's day, was that they were just these cute, cuddly babies and you just snuggle them. And also put them down. That was a big misconception I had about babies or my own child, is that I'd be able to put them down somewhere. And yeah, it's not. It's all those added layers, like you said. So I think my expectation was definitely it was going to be easier. That's the easiest, the quickest thing I can say to capture it, is that I didn't think it would be easy, but I definitely thought that some parts of those first even 6 weeks or 3 months would be a lot easier than the reality of what they were. And what sucks about maternity leave in the US and my particular situation was that right when I was feeling like I was kind of hitting my stride at that 3 month mark, it was like, all right, time to go to work, bitch. Not by the time you're kind of out of that little window of like, all right, I feel like I'm figuring it out a little bit now. And then it's like, well, you gotta go. You gotta get out of the house now. Thank you, society, for telling me that I should know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And then you have to find someone that you trust enough to hand them off to, which is a whole nother thing.
Yeah. When they're still pretty doughy, they're pretty raw and fresh still at 3 months. They're not telling anyone anything.
But they're not like standing up and running around. And
they're not.
No.
They're just rolling over, maybe. Like, you don't know. Like, maybe now they're just able to be like, I can roll away from danger. And you have to be like, here's someone else, please figure this out. But by that point, they do have a little bit more of their shit together. So I also was ill-prepared for the leading up to that point. Kate, what were your expectations, and kind of where did you get the basis of those expectations from?
You know, I also really didn't interact with a lot of, I had never held a newborn besides my own until, you know, they gave him to me.
I have another business outline real quick, which is, let's find a way to get hands on newborns. Let's find a way. Who wants to share their newborns with strangers? All right.
Anyway, candy stripers, but for newborns.
Exclusively.
Hey, I'll newborns. Take a Saturday and go hug on some babies. Yeah. I'll do it.
Again, where you pick them up, put them down. That's what I'm We got to get people interaction with those babies because you can't.
Oh yeah. At this point I do it purely for like the potential fertility benefits, like holding brand new babies. By this point, my fertility episode is aired. So like, I will do anything, people. I will come hold as many newborns as you have and just like slowly put them down towards my uterus.
Kate's whispering in their ear, I want one of you. Every time she touches one.
Send someone here. I know you were just there.
You still have connections. Tell them. Tell them.
No, I think my expectations, I don't know, but like looking back, and I don't know if that we're almost 3 years in, or that feels so long ago to me. What my expectations really were is I knew like I wasn't going to have time to care about myself because I had so many friends who had told me like those kind of things. I did not expect when those moments came where I had to take care of myself, where like I was required to step in and do something. I mean, I've told this before, but where I have this ingrown toenail that went wrong, that like I ended up having 4 surgeries on because during that time, like I didn't even cross my mind that I would have to care about myself in this time where I'm just focused on caring about this tiny little human. Same thing with like when I got my DVT, my blood clot, like having to do shots twice a day and like make sure those were at the right time. Like I did not expect that like so much of the caring would have to be for me as well. I thought it was really like I was just going to be this like machine that took care of this tiny baby. And then like I would deal with myself later, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's a really good point that comes up. That's like, you have your even pregnancy or your newborn or early childhood, and like, you forget life still happens.
Yeah.
Because I think a part of you thinks like, this is going to be such a special, like little bubble of time, but then life doesn't stop just because you became a parent. So you not only are, you know, learning everything that comes with this baby and becoming a parent, but like other stuff in your life, you know, pandemic or family stuff or friend stuff. I think something that I had to like deal with as in those early days, or even like still now with my 17-month-old, is the loss of the person I was, of like, I know in a lot of ways, I'm not as good of a friend, like maybe, or as you know, someone who can talk as long on the phone, or someone mm-hmm. who can do as many things as I used to do for other people. And I think that's something that I didn't think about going into the early days, is, oh, how this is going to change my life and how I interact with like the world as a human. Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. That is the most relatable thing that's probably ever been said on the podcast ever.
I know. Carol and I are nodding emphatically.
Closing our eyes, like deeply, our souls are nodding with her. And we're just, since we're on Zoom, the only way the thing we can do is slow close the eye head nod. Like, yes.
It is. It's funny that you mentioned that. I remember writing a letter to Caro when mm-hmm. she was pregnant, where I kind of was like trying to eloquently describe that, where I saw this thing on probably Instagram or something, that it was like, when you have your baby that day, you meet 2 new people, your baby and yourself. Like, mm-hmm. it's really like, as soon as you have that kid, you're a brand new person. And I remember like trying to like writing this letter to her, like sobbing, trying to like to explain to her, because I wasn't really prepared for that. Like you said, like, you don't think, you're like, okay, it's me with the baby. And it's like, no, that every, like something shifts in your brain. And all of a sudden it's like, you're getting to know yourself again.
You are, you really are. And it's like, sorry, I'm like the deepest, like, I feel like you guys are so fun to listen to. And I'm here just talking to these, like, let's just go there, guys. Let's just get into these
places
and just like shovel through that, like this. We're gonna get to the bottom of this and we're gonna just go right through it together.
This is why you are here, and we love it.
Yes.
But I would have really appreciated like somebody saying this to me, because the way you wrote that letter, I think that's like such a beautiful thing to do with someone. Because then I actually loved the episode where your husband came on and was like so vulnerable and talked about all of that, because I think for me, at least, I just wanted to be so happy, like as a new parent and with this new baby. And I thought if I wasn't just happy, I was failing, and I was failing him, and I was failing myself, and I was failing every expectation I had that like I would be just like so fulfilled. Cause like you, I really wanted to be a mom. So when I became one, And I felt more anxious than happy because I felt like I was solely responsible for this human that now I had to drive in a car. Like, are you kidding me? Like, terrifying. Like, when I tell you terrified, I was like straight up terrified. But like, I just felt like such a failure for not just feeling so happy and lucky and grateful, which I did have those feelings, but I also had other feelings like lonely. I was really lonely. I was like, I didn't have a lot of other family around. Dan went back to work. That was so real for me. And I actually ended up going into therapy like 3 months into postpartum, but because I felt like, where is my space to be able to talk about this? And I had to find someone to go there with. But yeah, I just think that that was something that was like this carving out this new identity and allowing for like whatever to come up with that and realize my baby's not happy every day to be here. Like, he's not like shining with gratitude for me every moment of his life and like only smiling. He's sad, angry, all these things. And I allow that. And so I have to have a little bit more compassion for myself and let me feel those things, you know, as
well. Yeah. I had that same experience, especially with the kind of, Kate, to go back what you were saying, where you still have needs. It was really difficult to try to find a therapist during that time. That was one of the things I struggled with the most, was how do I have this child who I cannot say it enough, literally would not let us put her down. Like, it was a matter of put down and listen to this child wail and scream and obviously be experiencing discomfort, or hold them and be able to not have that. And any day of the week, my choice was to hold. But how do you do that? And then be like, now I'd also like to engage in therapy where I talk about how much I'm fucking hating this, to be very honest. Yeah. So like, as I'm holding a sleeping baby, like, I can't do it. And to find someone again to receive that message. And I was like 3 weeks postpartum by the time I was like, all right, I need to be talking to someone. And it was same thing. My mom had just left, who was helping. My partner, Chris, went back to work and I was just there, like, I'm doing it. And so finding someone, I had to go through like two or three people before I could be like, no, this person gets what I'm saying, the impact it's having on me, that I'm really trying to figure out who I am as a person. I feel like I've lost a lot of my personhood. And I also didn't anticipate I know David touched on this, Kate's husband, in his episode, the amount of need that comes from the birthing parent, or I don't know if on other family situations, if the baby just kind of latches on to, you know, one person in particular, but in our situation, it was me, that she really was like, I need to be with you. And there were, I had pictured all these moments of like handing her off to my mom and Chris, which happened every now and then to be able to do stuff with her and for her. But it was like this all consuming, you do lose like any amount of personhood, it felt like. And I was super struggled with that. And also so anxious. I was so anxious about anything that happened. And I had all these expectations of the pure bliss and the joy. And you see these moms on like TV and they're like messy hair, cup of coffee, fuzzy bathrobe. And they're like, oh, motherhood. And I was just like, oh, I can't do it anymore. And it was that reality setting in of what is happening. I would love to hear from both of you too. Like, why doesn't anyone talk about this? Is it genuinely not to scare? Like, by the time it would be appropriate to talk about is when someone's already pregnant and they have so much going on that you don't want to be like, oh, it's about to get very scary for you. Because I would have loved if someone was like, listen, it's hell. It's absolute, like, there's no other way to describe it. And it's completely normal if you feel like that. If you're not happy all the time, it's okay. You know, it's gonna be really wild. And then, you know, if their reality isn't that, okay, good. They've had a wonderful time. And if the reality is that, at least they're like, oh, okay, this is a normal thing to be having happen to me.
I don't know. I think it, like, even now, I have those same kind of feelings that Shay was describing, you know. Bubba's almost three. And anytime I have a moment where I'm like, oh my God, I just for a second wish that I was just by myself right now, or like that you were somewhere else doing your own thing, like the guilt that comes over me. I have had, like, we have acquaintances who have lost their children, and like I've had my own losses. And I don't know, something in me, anytime I'm like, I hate this, like, this sucks, I want this to stop, immediately I am struck with like, you are ungrateful. Mm-hmm. Like, how ungrateful are you? You have this child, you know, you personally wish you had more, you know, people who would do anything to have their kids standing in front of them. How dare you? And it's like saying that right now, if I were to say that, like, I would never say that to you, Kara, like, as like, if you were like, I'm overwhelmed, I hate this, that would never be, but that's something like a constant, you
ungrateful animal.
Yes! Yeah,
never. No,
that's a constant loop in my head when I get to like places like that. And
yeah,
but you're right. Like, none of my friends have ever said anything like that to me, where it's like, and so then you're like, am I crazy? Or like, am I actually doing this wrong? You know, like, should it all just feel like, yeah, it's hard, but I'm still like, you know, liking it. Cause I don't like it. I'm not going to say most of the time, but you know, some of the time, like,
oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I think that a part of it, because I'm trying to think about this, because this is such a good question. I wonder if part of it is when you're talking to your friend who's already a parent, if the times, because you know what it's like having, I mean, this is like a miracle that the three of us are making this happen at this moment.
Yeah.
It's like divine intervention.
Oh, yeah.
So like when you do get that person's time, if they just want to be your like support, especially if it's mom to like pregnant person or a new mom, like, you almost feel guilty like turning the conversation onto you of like, oh, now you have to like support me when my time is so limited that I can even give to you, of like, let me just show up for you. When like, I know if I do have a mom friend who, if one of us opens the door to this conversation, the floodgates will open. It's like, I found my hallelujah moment to be able to vent about this with someone, but it's a vulnerable thing to do. And it's like waiting for that right opportunity for that conversation to like present itself, when really like it should be way more normal to just be like, this sucks, I'm having a sucky day and I feel really like tired and overwhelmed and unhappy right now. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day and I said, it's like hard for me to say this out loud, but I feel like my son is not getting the best version of me right now as his mom. That like broke me on the inside, but it was so true as I said it, because I was like, there are happier quote unquote versions of me in times where I was sleeping through the night, mm-hmm. and had all my needs met and was doing self-care 24/7 and was showering regularly and fed 3 meals a day. That was like a more me version of me. Like, I know that sounds weird to say, but it was like, now I sometimes feel like I'm like showing up and going through the motions, but like, am I present? Am I playing with him? Like how I used to play with other kids. I'm like, I feel like sometimes I was a better teacher than I am a mother, because I was popping in to be fun Shay that was fully there, and then got to go back to my other life where I was living a life. And now I'm doing this 24/7 and I feel like I'm half-assing it sometimes.
And same. I feel like I'm half-assing it all the time, like, to tell you the truth.
Dude, same. And I get so incredibly jealous of other people, and specific, like, I'll say it, my mother-in-law, my mom, and my husband, who get to be like their best selves with the baby. Because they have the like respite of, I go away for a little bit and then I'm back. And I go to like work sometimes, but that's really, but if anything big happens, it's on me. And when I say anything big, Chris is always there, but like, I'm the person that would be called if she was sick. I like, today my pump broke, so I couldn't pump at work, so I have to go home. If she doesn't have milk, I have to go home. If there's a meal issue, if there's, that's all like, there's only 50% of me, if that, at best, elsewhere where my physical body is, and the rest is all at home. So there isn't like, there's, to me, there isn't really a break. And I get so jealous of the people that I see being able to like take a break and then be super playful and fun. And I'm like, God damn it. Why? Like, instead, you get like, she gets this version of me that's not always playful and fun, where I am just kind of like, yeah, brown bear, what do you see?
Yeah. Like,
if I have to hear this, oh my gosh, my father, who, bless his heart and soul, is a beautiful, lovely man. He bought one of those stuffed animals that sings. And if I have to hear Elvis Presley's Black Magic, which this cat with a witch's hat sings one more time, I swear to you all, I'm going to lose my mind. And so I have to hear it 9,000 times a day, where Chris only has to hear it about 50. So I'm like, I'm going to throw it out the window. And this poor baby is just like, more. More. No more. Please no more. One of my favorite things that Shay's ever said to me, we were on the phone one time and she was like, whales on the bus, or I don't know, your son must have been like doing something. And she was like, whales on the bus, ruin your family. Broken my household. I knew, I like felt it in my soul, that feeling. But I do, I totally agree with that feeling of like, the half-assing it, like in motherhood, of my expectation of myself, of what I want to be doing, I feel like I'm half-assing it. But then that carries over to literally every other aspect of my life. I had a conversation with Chris the other night where it was like, if I feel like I'm failing, which is strong language, I don't feel like I'm failing at a mom, but if I feel like I have these moments of failure where I'm like not giving it my all, I would hope that I was exceptional elsewhere. And I just don't feel that way. Like I would hoping at work, I'd be like nominated for an award, or he'd be like spouse of the year, or like someone would be like, you're the best friend in the, you know? And I'm like, no, nah, it's just kind of shit.
These are the conversations I have with my therapist, and she just looks me dead in the eyes and goes, let me just ask you, like, when was the last time you slept through the night? And I go, yeah, like over 2 years ago. Yeah. And she goes, yeah, yeah, you're right on track. You're doing your best.
Good fucking therapist. Being like,
I know, how validating.
Torture people using sleep deprivation. Okay, you're doing well. It's so hard.
But this is also like, this isn't something that when a lot of times moms get together, moms have conversations, it's a hard thing to say out loud and admit, you know, like, I don't know. I have a very open dialogue with a group of like 8 moms. So like we literally chat every day, but this isn't something that ever really comes up where it's like, hey, anybody else fucking hate this right now? You know, like, but that would be so like nurturing to my soul to be like, and it does happen sometimes, you know, but like, I need to have, like, it's for me, like there's a couple, and I, you know, I stay at home and I really truly don't ever get like a break from him unless he's asleep. So like, I don't know, there's parts of it where I'm just so burnt out the past couple nights, even like at the end of the day, it just, I hear mom, like, I shit you not, like 800 times mm-hmm. a day. And at the end of it, when I'm trying to like get dinner ready or clean up the kitchen or like pick up after everyone, and I hear it like the last like 20 times, I am on edge. And David's like, is there something going on like this past week? And I'm like, have you observed my life? Like, what are you talking about?
Okay, that is a great point to one thing that I think is so important for people to know. Your expectation of what it's going to be like to hear your child say your name is like this magical moment, right? You think to yourself, just when they say mama, like my soul will just lift out of my body and it will make this all worth it. And we will just be one. And when I tell you, my child, from when he learned to say mama, for the 3 months that came after that, it was not like mama, mama. It was like ma, 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 like only crying.
Same dude. My name.
And like he would say dada, but like mama was only like
distress call.
The world is ending and you are the last words on my lip. And I couldn't even take a video because it was so upsetting. Like it was terrible.
Yeah.
Same.
Even still now, like he'll say it, but it's where mama, where mama. He'll only say it if I'm out of the room, like to hunt me down. And like, it's, oh.
That does get better. I will say, like, now that like, if my son can speak and like, you know, he emotes and, you know, he'll say like, he says, instead of I love you, he says I you. So he'll just randomly look at me like, I you mama. And I'm like, I you bubba, you know. But you're right though. Like some of those times where it's just like, he also calls me ma, like he's some like 17-year-old Long Island boy from like 1940. He'll be like, hey ma. I'm like, who are you talking to? Like, no, sir.
Where's my dinner, ma?
Hey ma. I'm like, no.
I love that little
bit.
We live
in Florida. Who are you?
Where sometimes they just mess with you. Like, I'm not into the like my child manipulates me, because sentence like drives me insane. But when I tell you my child, I have a stash of dark chocolate that's like mom's one moment of the day that she gets.
Shay is that Dove commercial of that mom in the bathroom eating dark chocolate.
I am like, everything's okay. Dark chocolate. We're gonna get through another day.
Let me have this.
And now, like, he follows me. He knows the sound of the wrapper, and he sits at my feet. He hasn't signed more all day for anything else I've given him. And he just, I'm like, my one thing, my one moment to myself. I sadly break off a piece for him.
I honest to God think that teaching the baby to sign milk was probably the worst day in our household, because especially because I've only breastfed. And so she now knows it as like, this is how I get mom. And so again, I don't agree with the manipulation thing, because she doesn't know how to manipulate, but she does know that if she does this, I am the thing that provides the milk. So constantly she squeezes, like she's squeezing an udder, and is like, milk or distress cry, mom. I can identify that a lot.
She also is very loosey goosey with the milk though, because every time I hold her, she looks at my boobs and signs milk, and I'm like, got nothing here for you, babe.
Yeah, can't do it. It means like everything, but and sometimes she'll just do it, and I'm like, do you mean it? And she's like, yeah, nah, I just wanted you to hold me. I'm going to give her the boob. She's like, hard pass on the milk. I just wanted you to hang out. I'm like, cool, but could we do another sign for that?
It's like your friend who only texts 911 when they need to talk to you.
Yes. That's her with the milk sign. She also learned, she does like a come hither hand motion now, which means, because Chris and I will do wave her over and be like, come here, come here. And so she'll do a little come hither hand motion, but she thinks that she needs us, like, she thinks that she can use it anytime, anywhere. And so we'll be like, all right, time to get a diaper change. And she's like, come to me, motherfucker. Like, oh, I don't love that you know how to do that.
Come.
Yeah. Time to have lunch. And she's like, bring it here. And I'm like, no, get over here. What are you talking about?
You know what's so funny? And I know this from being around Birdie and the other, my sister's twins and everything. The other thing about early childhood that I think does start so early, like even at newborn, like when you're saying Birdie likes to be held all the time, like my son was the same exact way, and they have preferences. Yep. So like, I think that's almost across the board. I've heard some newborns that are like more okay with going in the bouncer, the like whatever, being like put down a little bit. I mean, there's this whole like, we can get into the dueling of it, of why they want to be held so much, but it's actually very interesting. But my son hated with a passion the car seat. Like, hated the car. And I was told by everyone, you just put them in the car, they're going to fall asleep every time. Like, it's going to be your go-to thing. From the first time he ever entered the car seat, he despised it and still does to this day. And like, doesn't like being strapped into anything. Like, stroller, has never fallen asleep in the stroller, has never fallen asleep in the car, has never fallen asleep in like a bouncer, never.
That's and crazy.
Nor has my child. Like
a personality trait. Like, it's like, it is him to his core of who he is. And I think that that's one thing that's like really interesting, is you just think they're all going to be the same until they get the personality, but the fact that the preferences and the personality can be there, of like whether or not they like a binky, or whether or not they, you know, like being swaddled, or it's just like they actually do have certain things that they're like communicating with you that like they enjoy or they don't enjoy. And I think that that really was interesting, because you get so much across the board advice from parents of like, this will be your thing, this will be your thing that works. And I think it's really important, like the best advice I could ever give anyone is to like, just get to know your baby, like get to know your baby and what works for them and what works for you, and take everything else with a grain of salt, because everyone else is just telling you what worked for them, and that might not be the thing that works for you.
Yeah. And I think that's so true, that they do have like something Chris and I really tried to, and Shay, I know I've talked to you about this before too, that the baby's a human, even though they're like this, and really you like sink our teeth into that thought process, which is that even though they're like this tiny, very dependent person, fourth trimester, like they're still really gestating, like they're super dependent, but they are still a human, and they do have, like you said, preferences from day one. And I mean, day one, still in the hospital, that child would not let us put it on her back. Sleeping, eyes would pop open, and we were like, we were told that this wouldn't happen, that you would be very tired and allow us to put you down. That is what we were told. But yeah, no, the preference was like, I don't want to be put down. I want to be held. And honestly, so do I. At this age, I'm like, someone hold me. I just need a warm, loving hug. So I get the preference, but I think that that is great advice. Is, you know, it's nice that people can give you tips and suggestions that have helped them. And I always like when people use that I language. That has been the most nourishing thing to me as a mom, is when people have said, what worked for me? I know with the baby, I did this. My sister-in-law is great at that. I did this, it worked for me. And I know I've mentioned that before. And I really love that. Not like, you should do this, or your baby will do this, or they're a baby. That's something that people used to say to me all the time. It's like, they're a baby, just put them in the car seat. Yeah, I'm not saying they're physically punching me. That's not the issue that I'm having. The issue that I'm having is that they're upset. That is the main issue I'm having. It's not physical harm that I think they're going to do to me. I get they're a baby. Yeah, I could overpower a baby. I agree with that statement, but I don't want to. So
Kate, was Bubba like that? Was did he want to be held a lot, or different?
I'm feeling, I don't even want to say this to the two of you. My child lived for being put down alone. Yeah. He loved it. He loved the bouncer. That bouncer saved us so many times. He loved the stroller. He loved the car seat. He loved his bassinet. Like he came out like day one, very independent. He is just like, all right, I can do this, like step off, you know, he's kind of like that kind of kid. And he's been like that. So yeah, he was just truly like, I'll do whatever, just let me kind of be, you know.
I love to hear that though, because it shows you across the board and it makes sense. Like Caro, you were saying that humans are all different. What works for me isn't going to work across the board for every human. Like, wouldn't that be nice if it was that easy? But we're all different and all babies are different. And my thought process is like, respect what they're trying to tell you, because then, you know, it helps you to like respect them in life with the choices that they will make, that will be their choices. They come out and they start right away, like letting you know who they are as human beings. And that's like the most amazing part, I think, of being a parent, is witnessing this human that, yes, you helped to create, but who is their own human, and seeing what those preferences are and what, you know, the person that they're growing into.
And nurturing that, because like Kate, to your point where Bubba, you've nurtured that independence, where I'm sure at times you would have loved to be like, I really want to hold you for a really long time. And he was kind of like, no, thank you, I don't want that. But that you were able to, again, identify that he's the human and be able to just nurture that type of personality and that soul, which does, I think, build the blocks to allow them to continue to grow and be the people they're gonna be, instead of having them be the thing we want them to be. Because there, of course, are things I wish that, like behaviors that would make my life easier if the baby had them, but I would not change a thing, like not to be unrealistic, but I wouldn't change a single thing about her. And that's something too that I always have to separate, which is, it's never her, it's always me. Like, it's never that there's something different that I want to change about her. And I think that often people, moms or parents in general, connect those two things, that like, if I'm having a hard day, it's because of the baby. No, there may be like a stimuli, or there may be something going on that's like really wearing me down, but like, it's me. I'm having a hard day. I am a separate entity, and I'm having a difficult day because of whatever's happening in the household, or my ability to cope, how I'm able to fill my tank. That's me. Her, whatever she's doing is right, because she's the baby and she's supposed to be doing it. But I think that like a lot of people marry those two things, and it makes them feel guilty to be like, oh, I really hate it, I'm having such a hard time, and this kid's really driving me crazy.
You guys, you probably guessed it, but this one is going to be a two-part episode. We loved talking to Shay so much, and honestly, her expertise is super validating and refreshing for us, so we hope it is for you too. That being said, we cannot wait for you to catch us next week so we can finish up the topic of early childhood, this newborn stage that drove us all crazy, and we're even going to dive into the topic of breastfeeding, which I know a lot of people are going to be excited about. So hang in there, we will catch you next week, and we can't wait. So until then, stay safe, friends. It's a jungle out there. Bye.